This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. The following lecture, titled Faith and Devotion to Family, A Better Life is Near, was recorded Sunday, July the 5th, 1998, at the Ramada Inn in Harvey, Illinois. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad.
What all of that is to say this, family is no small matter. Family is a big matter. This whole world began with a family. That's the belief of the people who received the revelation from God by way of the prophets. We believe that this whole world was populated by one family. That was the family of our first parent, Adam. Adam had a wife, a mate. And Adam and his mate produced the first children, and that was the first family. And that first family is what God created. And all of us have come from those procreators, those parents, those original parents of us, of ours. All of us have come from them. So if all of us have come from them, then it's easy to understand the statement, human family, human family. All human beings are really one family. We are the family of the first parents. Adam, and Christians say Eve. Adam and his mate. We are all the descendants of Adam and his mate. And that was the first family according to Revelation, Bible, Quran, the people of the book. That's according to that revelation that we identify with you. The man began as one family on this earth. And all other families, all other nations and communities came out of that family. We say came out of that family. Came out of that family means we came from the orientation that God put that family on. Does that mean that we are really outside that family in terms of our genetic belonging? No, genetically we still belong to the one family. Genetically we are Adam. The first father, we have his genes are in us. Impossible for it to be otherwise. His genes are in every one of us. His blood is in every one of us. His flesh is the flesh of every one of us. Impossible to believe otherwise. I said impossible to believe otherwise. If you accept revelation, if you accept Bible, if you accept Muslims, if you accept Quran, then it's impossible to believe otherwise. We want to talk more about families and community. I want to look at neighborhoods. When I say community, I'm thinking about neighborhoods. You know, neighborhoods. Neighborhoods and ethnic communities. Like African Americans, we live mostly together. Where we live in Chicago forms the African American community, the African American ethnic community. Then you'll find the Polish people and the Irish people and the others. Now we have a big number of Arabs and Indians from Asia living in Chicago and in Chicago suburbs. They represent a big population too now, vastly growing population and a big one. All of these are ethnic communities. We have so many ethnic communities in Chicago. And in the West California, some areas of California, the people are so mixed and so stupid to think about your race. It's absolutely stupid, because you're just one. You're just like a little, if you put pepper and salt and curry and all that, you know, and about 20 spices, and you sprinkle it on something, and one little piece of spice will say, "I'm curry." Hell, who cares? Who cares? What I eat, I don't taste you. So many other spices here. Take a scientist to identify you. You know, food specialist to identify you. Yes, so who cares? And that's the way this America is becoming. Not only California is just an example to us of what is a sign to us of what America is becoming. Years ago, the magazines came out, several years ago, came out, the Browning of America. You remember a caption like that? the browning of America. Well, that's exactly what's happening. You know, so many people are coming and mixing, until when you look at the American public now, in one big scene, like the Taste or whatever, you look at there, the white is spread out there like in my hair. You look at my hair and you don't say it's white. You don't say it's black either. There's too much white there. So you say it's gray. Oh, he's gray. He's gray-headed. Yeah. So when we look at the big public now in a situation like the Taste that bring people all together from everywhere, we see a brown crowd. Yeah, is that what you see? A brown crowd. You look out there, that's what they look like, brown. So there's not enough black to make it black. There's not enough white to make it white. So it looks brown. The big crowd looks brown. Yeah. And so I agree with them. The browning of America. America's browning. And what I mean by this is we're not going to see any more of the extremes. Extremes. Black is one extreme. White is another extreme. We're not going to see any more extremes. We're going to see the common people. The common people. Black kind of fades out and disappear, and you lose awareness that the black is there. Same thing happens to the white. So it leads us to look at what? People. Leads us to do nothing but look at people. And that's the way God made it in the beginning, and that's the way it's becoming now for us in this new world in the West. And, well, new world everywhere. But before going to certain, I would say, benefits that we think we can join with the Christians and increase those benefits, be contributors, before going to that, I want to mention something that's very, very extremely important for us. What is the great benefit of having revelation from God? What is the great benefit of saying, I live a life of faith? I believe in God. I believe in God's word or his scriptures from God. What is the great benefit? We may say, well, the great benefit is salvation. Your soul will be saved. Yes, that's true. But what is the great benefit right here now? What is the great benefit for me in my daily life? Well, to save your soul is to save you from damnation. Yes, I agree. I'm not playing down that. That is the most important thing, salvation. Yes, but salvation is a kind of vague term, you know. For the Christian, salvation is one thing. For the Muslim, salvation might be another. It may not be exactly the same thing, you know. But if we mean meeting God and God saying, yes, I accept you, you have been a good servant, as the Bible scripture says, my good servant, welcome, you know. Welcome home, my good servant. Yeah, so if that's what you mean, then yes, we that's the most important thing, is to live so that we'll be presentable before God, and God will say, welcome home, my servant. Yes. That is the most important thing. But let's look at our practical life. If I'm a businessman, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a welder. I used to be a welder, and I love welding. Or I'm a welder. How will it benefit me? And I'm a family man. I'm a father. I got a wife that's looking to me, and depending on me to uphold my part of the bargain. And I got children, and I'm a father. I'm a father to them, and they're looking to me, too, to keep my relationship in the family with my wife and with them, and to uphold my part of the bargain. So I got all this. How can I benefit from this religion now? How does this religion help me to be a father I want to be, and to keep the family life we want to keep, and to have a good future in community life, or in America, or in Chicago, or wherever we live? How is this religion going to help me? The way this religion helps us live in the context of creation, in the context of creation, the big context is the whole universe, everything, stars, skies, and earth, and everything. The smaller context will be this town, Harvey, or the bigger town that I've lived most of my life in, Chicago. The smaller context will be that town. Even smaller that will be my neighborhood. Smaller than that will be my family, or the home where I am, you know? Yes. So we narrow it down to the smaller environment, but God has prepared us to live in any environment and have the best life possible for ourselves. And how have God given us this help? God has given us this help by telling us to respect structural supports. Listen to the language. Respect structural support. The human being is a structured life. God has designed this life. No doctor designed this life. No scientist designed my anatomy and how my heart, lungs, and vital organs work. No doctor designed that. No doctor gave me that. The doctor had to study that. My creation has produced a world of sciences. My creation that God made has produced a world of sciences. The scientists have studied my skin. My skin has produced the branch of sciences. Scientists have discovered my blood system, my circulatory system, my blood system. Another group of scientists, another whole world of scientists, right? And they have studied my heart, another group of scientists. They have studied my eye, another group of scientists. They have studied different parts of my eye, and different parts of my eye have produced different groups of scientists. Yes, so look at what my body has generated, what my body has generated. My body has generated, has attracted people, intelligent people, who want to know how to service my body, have attracted them, and they have studied my body to learn from my body how my body should be serviced. They couldn't learn from somewhere else. They couldn't study a dog's body and learn how my body should be serviced. They couldn't study a tree and learn how my body can be serviced. They had to come to what God did and study my body as God did it, to learn how they should serve my body. Now, if I am to serve society or to serve my environment, shouldn't I have the same good common sense to study that environment that God did so I will know how to service that environment that God did? This is the precious benefit. This is the great benefit we get from Revelation. This is the great help we get as religious people. We respect Christianity. There was those who took a divergent path and went off respect for God. Not the people of Russia, not the people of the communist bloc, used to be communist bloc, but the government, the leaders, the politicians, the thinkers, the political theorists of the communist bloc, they went off and say, no, we can't accept the idea of God for our government. And they denied people public expression of religion. And they lived only 70 years, and they faced their death. And the whole world have seen them lose power. They are no longer a power. And in my lifetime, looked like just yesterday, there were two great world powers, the communists and the capitalists, or the West. The capitalist West and the communist bloc were the two great powers. And we didn't know who was going to win. We didn't know whether the communist bloc would win and we would find ourselves all under communism if we survived the nuclear war. If we survived the nuclear war, we said we wouldn't know whether we're going to end up being all be communists or under communism or not. But we see just in 70 years, the life of one person is finished. Gone. No more threat. Isn't that a sign from God? You people of faith, your faith should be stronger. If you watch what is happening in the world of real life and real people and real history, real events, if you're watching and studying that, this new time on this earth should encourage you to get closer to God, to trust your God more, to trust your scriptures more, to be better Christians if you're Christians, to be better Jews if you're Jews, and to be better Muslims if you're Muslims. Yes! So you're not thinking. Something's wrong. Here is God producing miracles on this earth in the 90s. Before the end of this century, God has produced miracles and shown us miracles. Bigger than the miracles of crossing the Red Sea. Much bigger than that. That's a small miracle crossing the Red Sea. Here is a people, a great people called the Russians, the communist bloc, able to shoot a vehicle up with human beings on it and land them on the moon. Send vehicles out from Earth and land them on different planets out there in the space. Competing with another power, the United States, our government, doing the same thing. Once say we believe in a God.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now back to today's program.
The other thing, well, we don't bother with God. It's not important to us. What we are doing, God is not relevant. There's no relevancy here for religion and God. What we are doing is studying the dynamics of materialism. It has nothing to do with God. We don't believe in creation. We believe in materialism. We believe in material. And God say, okay, you got 70 years, buddy, and I'm going to knock the foundation out Monday. And God does that, perform this great miracle before the world. And we don't register it as a great miracle of God. The biggest help that God gives us, that the world does not always give us, to give us sometimes, is the awareness of structural support. Structural support in the context of matter, as matter exists and preserves itself. I hope you're following my language. As matter exists and preserves itself. So God gives us awareness of structural support. So here I am, I'm a human being, and I'm a human structure. I'm a human design, I have human identity, I'm not a stone, I'm not a light fixture, I'm not a dog, I'm a human being. No other pattern is like mine. If we could say the material world has produced all this, and the material world has title to patterns, or God, the creator who did all this, has title to patterns. There is no pattern like mine. There's only one pattern for human creation. One pattern. Okay, so God has done that. That's my identity first. Before I'm black, I'm human. Before I'm white, I'm human. Before I'm Japanese or yellow, I'm human. Yes. Before I'm African, I'm human. I don't know how long Africa has existed. But I know how, whenever it started with people, the first people were human. So my first identity and my most important identity is human. That's what distinguished me. I can communicate with language. I have common language with human beings. No matter if they learn Chinese, I can learn Chinese too. Any language a human being learn, I can learn it too. I can speak with them. And they can speak to me in my language. They want to learn my language, they can speak to me in my language. God has made us to be able to communicate with each other. But not with the baboons. So this is our identity. And this is the most precious identity. The human identity. An identity that labels human structure, human composition, human content, human life. Human. That's what I am. That's my native life. That's my native life. So I don't know if there's a land called human land. I don't think so. But I believe the first land that existed for human beings was human land. That was before they called themselves Africans or French or Asians or whatever. They were humans. And I don't know what term they had in that language that they had, but it translates human. It was human. Yes. Yes. It was human land. And God says, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. This is the Christian Bible. And if you understand it, it's Muslim logic too. As God created it, you in the first, in the beginning, you must return. Huh? That's Islam. As God made you or created you in the beginning, you must return. You may go far away from what he made you and be hissing like a snake or barking like a baboon or something. You may do that, but one day, God's law, God's will, God's force upon you is going, and creation, not only you, but upon everything that you have to use to support yourself, is going to force you to come back to the state that God put you in the beginning. the human state. The human state. The human state that's needed to support good families. If your humanity is not there, how are you going to have a good family? You don't have the condition of a human being in you. How are you going to have a good human family? So your family will be a baboon, a hyena family. And others will be looking at that and they'll say, that's a hyena family over there next door. So I wonder how they got to be like that. Well, we might not know how they got to be like that, but if we appreciate human identity, we sure know what to call them back to. We can get them back to what they were when God made them. And that's what it's all about. Structures. Structures that God made, that this material universe supports and promotes and preserves and survives by preserving or promoting that. How this world survives and protects itself, keeps itself, and promotes itself. Don't you know everything is undergoing stages of change for the better? For the better. Everything. Now that tells us God is a good God. Science tells us that originally people weren't Homo sapiens. Science says this. Not that we buy it, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you the logic. We buy the logic, but not necessarily the explanation. Religious people, we buy the logic. The logic is that you weren't always as capable and resourceful and productive as you are now. That you once existed on a much lower scale in the evolution of life. And that in that lower scale of evolution of life, you were like a primitive animal. An animal. A weak animal. That's what scientists say. Darwin theory, whatever you want to call it. That's what scientists say, okay? Now, what does scripture say? Scripture says that originally we were created weak. Originally, we were created weak. So God says we were created weak originally, but he says we were created also for growth, progress, and promotion. We were created for growth, progress, and promotion. So we're not going to always be in that weak stage that God created us in. We are going to grow and develop into stronger and more resourceful and more productive life. And that's what science says, and that's what scripture says. So we are a life that's constantly being promoted. And if we understand the need to be aware of structures as they are existing in the system of matter that God made, and how they are supported and preserved and promoted in that system, structures. My life, my human life is a structure. Community life is another structure for human life to realize growth and possibilities that are in us waiting for the right kind of environmental situation for us to realize them. So we get the right environmental situation, we can realize this great potential in us, this great capacity, a great potential of human life. Yes. So life is promotional. Life is the growth. It's growth. It's developmental. And if you are hung up on racial identity and you're not thinking with common sense, not using the powers of the human intellect, not engaging this world, this great world of material things, to know how to relate to it, how to live with it, and how to benefit from it without bringing harm to yourself or your family or your society, but bringing benefit, realizing benefits. If you are not having that kind of mind and you are hung up on your identity, you're a race, you're a black man, you're an African, you're a white man, you're European, whatever, you're an Englishman. If you're hung up on that identity and you're not engaging this universe with your intellect as God wants you to engage it, you are going to be left out. You are most likely, you're already left out, but you are going to be eliminated because God is marshaling mankind, his life, is marshaling his life, is making him come together to see each other, to recognize the common life and the common goal, or the common purpose, or the common destiny for the human spirit. God is marshaling the human beings together. He made this world so the ocean is not too wide to keep us separated. Huh? No, he didn't make the ocean too wide to keep us separated. No, he knew that he created the man with a desire, with a spirit of desire, and with a brain that will enable him to cross the ocean and shake hands with his brother that he never saw before. Discover a member of his human race that he didn't know exists. Don't you know the world, the known world, before 1492? That's our history in America. They did not know these people we call American Indians existed. They didn't even know they existed. So here is God. God created the world and the human brain and the human spirit to be able to support each other. So the earth supports the human brain and the human spirit with wood. The man see a log, a dead piece of wood floating on the water and see a bird riding it. He said, hey, maybe I can make me something to ride that water. So he makes him something and ride the water. Where he got it from? He got it from the bird riding the dead branch. Huh? No, he got it from God, who created the water, created the dead branch to float on the water, created the bird to light on the dead branch, and to give man a message to his mind, hell, make you a boat and cross that water. Woo! Hold me down, baby. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Now that's what gives me the Holy Ghost. That's what gives me the Holy Ghost. Hey, 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 hey. That's what gives me the Holy Ghost. God says in the scripture, we have made no just estimation of God. We have terribly underestimated God. That's what the scripture says, and I'm a witness. So scripture tells us that God has a definite plan for human beings. And it's to be realized in this earth. That's why he made us in the heaven and put us in the earth. It's to be realized in this earth. We are to find our ends, our goals, our ultimate life. We are to find it on this earth, and we are to find it with our wives, with our children, with our neighbors, with our community. That's how we define it. God has decided that. We can't get around it. We have to stop being so hung up on just ourselves. The world of commercial consumerism, commercial life, consumerism, is pulling us apart. But this is a challenge. I think this is God's will. I don't think this is a curse. We have to just meet the challenge. We have to measure up to the challenge. Commercial world, so complex, and it's appealing to our appetites and giving us appetites we never dreamed we would ever have. And it's entertaining our minds, occupying our time. Just to take care of our families, we have to work sometimes two shifts, two jobs, at least one and a half, or one and a piece job, whole job and a piece of job. Some of us have to work two. Sometimes we have two or three workers in the house, and all of them have to work full-time and part-time just to take care of the bills and keep that house nice. So they're busy. Here's the commercial life taxing our life and taxing our time so much that we get a kiss on the run. You're brushing your teeth, and you say, wipe a little toothpaste off. Okay, baby, see you later. Catch you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. The wipe a little toothpaste off. You don't want to put the toothpaste on my mouth. Okay, baby. And you lie in the bed watching TV. Right? Yeah, I know what you do. I know what you do. I'm human. I'm human like you are. I know what you do. You lie in the bed watching TV, and you should be watching each other.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.